Hello and welcome to In Stitches, the upholstery podcast telling your story and inspiring others with me, your host, Robbie Richardson. It's my pleasure today to welcome Debbie Cave to the show. Welcome, Debbie.
Hello, Robbie. Thanks for having me.
So when you were coming up to leaving school, did you know what you wanted to do? Did you have a career that you wanted to follow, or were you busking it a bit?
Well, I wanted to go into cabinet making because woodwork was my big thing, or craft design technology at school. But where I lived and the school I went to wasn't conducive to that, really. So I ended up working, firstly, I went to college and did a foundation engineering course.
Okay.
And then ended up, bizarrely, working for NatWest.
Okay. How did that happen?
Well, I think it's just a case, sort of back then in the 80s, I think apprenticeships were just sort of being phased out.
Yes, definitely.
So it was just a case of like, what do I do? Job came up, apply for it. So I actually did actually go into the RAF, actually doing, I've forgotten that, to do engineering there. I'd have worked on the aircrafts. Got through and everything, but bizarrely, they called me up on my 18th birthday. And I was total miscommunication. I said, oh, is there any chance of a change? Or it's my birthday. Oh, you don't want to do it on that date then? I said, oh, no, if we can change it. And that was the last I heard. So I thought, oh, well, okay. So I ended up working for NatWest, bizarrely. So I was there for 10 years. But interim, I'd always dabbled in doing crafty things. Nothing specific, just sort of making cards or, you know, that kind of thing. So that was that.
So what sparked the change? What got you interested in upholstery? What was the thing?
Well, I suppose it always been in my family, because that's what my grandma did. That was her vocation. And she'd go around stately homes and people's homes and go in and travelled across the states and stayed there as well. It was sort of people who she worked for, their friends, and it sort of escalated, and that's what she kind of did, sort of from just after the war, I think.
Okay.
So that was always in the background. For me, why I did it was most bizarre. I couldn't even tell you how I got into it. I remember I was doing my degree at the time and I wanted something else to do, and I was just sort of looking around. I think I was looking on Amazon, actually, for books just to do at home, and saw Alex Law's book.
All right, yeah.
Okay, I'll think about that. And then I was just sort of searching around and saw that he actually did courses. Oh, right, that's it. Contacted him and joined one of his courses and got his book, and that's where it started. But me being me, I'm not very conventional at all, and I just always want to run before I can walk. So the little chair that I brought in was a little chair, but it was a child's armchair, and that's where it started.
Yeah, and you obviously really sort of took to it very...
Yeah, and he's very accommodating anyway. He is, and he just let me go with it, and I got annoyed with myself, and he just let it fly. He expected, like, yes, I should be able to do it just like that. And then I did, so I got there.
So I guess you've always been sort of creative, and that whole creativity part of your life has always...
Well, that's it, yeah. As I sort of mentioned earlier, that listening to the podcasts you've done made me self-reflect, and I'd totally forgotten at school in my craft design technology classes that I made a chair at metalwork.
Wow, brilliant.
I've totally forgotten that, and it was, I don't know if you remember, back in the 80s, late 70s, 80s, the curly boudoir chairs. They had the curls, they sort of came round. Everything was round, the round seat, round back. So I made one of those, echo work, and upholstered it all. That's where it started, I guess.
That's really interesting. And you just dropped in there, sort of as a little aside, when you were doing your degree. What did your degree in?
Psychology and counselling.
So you're quite diverse then.
Yes. I was actually going to do my master's, go to forensic psychology. It was that, or go down the upholstery route, because I love both. Yeah. And I thought, do I really want to listen to people all day long sort of moaning all their problems and, you know, that kind of thing?
Maybe if that's the mindset, you weren't quite right for it anyway.
Well, before I actually did the upholstery course, I got in to do, on the forensic side, to young offenders.
Oh, okay, that would have been...
I got through to all that, and I was just on the waiting list. And it was, I don't know if you heard, years when GS4 abused the poor lads at Maidstone Training Centre, Youth Training Centre. Well, the Ministry of Justice took it over, and then I was going to work there, which was great. But then it was changed to the education system. It'd been handed over to them, so therefore it didn't go, you know, any further. So then I went down the upholstery route.
So, I mean, in terms of upholstery and your movement into it, you went straight to Alex Lawson. So you learnt at the School of Upholstery.
Yeah.
And how did you find that when, you know, your first day there and you got your apprentice chair? Was it how you imagined it or not? I guess you had a more insight into it because of your family background.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I had to do was strip it, which was far more, to me, that's like, flipping it. This is going to take me hours to get all this. So it took me all day. I was like, why is it taking all day? And, he's very good. Well, you know Alex anyway. So it can do, can take a long time. So that was an eye-opener. But lots of different things that came up were eye-openers. But I just embraced it.
And what surprised you about the craft? What are the things that you didn't expect?
How physical it is.
Yeah.
Really.
And I guess some people talk about how hard it is on the hands and so on. Has that been something?
Yeah. I've had all that. I had to have injections in the hands.
Okay.
Trigger finger in both hands, which is annoying.
I guess you're getting stronger. It's actually, when did you start this? How long ago did you start?
3 years ago. I think it's 3 years ago. So I was still doing my degree then, and I think I finished that 2 years ago. So I think it's 3, yeah.
We've already discussed where you're learning, but the school itself, tell us about the school, what sort of size it is and how many people are in your class and so on.
Right, well, it's really small. It's actually transitioning now. Alex is going to different premises, so I suspect it will get bigger because he's doing the AMUSF course now, isn't he? But then it was like a biggish room with 6 of us in there. We all had our own tables. Yeah, and he handled it very well.
Yeah, and I guess there's good camaraderie and help between all the I think that's quite a nice part of it. It's, you know, obviously I've been to a few schools and classes, and I just think that's a really nice part of like that helping and cajoling one another, you know.
Well, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
And so what are your aspirations? Where do you see yourself going with this? What would you like from it?
If I was younger, then I'd just want to go as far as I possibly could and work wherever I could, but obviously not happening for old girl my age. But I'd like to, it's a bit vague, but be the best I possibly can, really. In what I do.
So it's more about the learning experience than it is turning it into a career?
Not really, no. Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do have ambitions to get paid for your work and...
Oh, yeah. Well, I am at the moment. I am.
But well done. Brilliant. Fantastic.
Yeah. I've been sort of booked up since July last year, constant. So, it's been really, really busy, actually. But
So do you work from home? Do you have to work?
Yeah, I do. I've got a cabin in the garden. And because I've got so busy, it's a bit too small. So my husband very kindly built, a bigger one for me because we just had an extension. So all the offcuts have been used for that. So that's good. So bricks and stuff. So
super. And your machining skills, have you always used a machine or is that?
No, my learning curve was totally vertical. And again, Alex was so patient and I was absolutely rubbish and then got it finally. Just keep practicing and I got it. So yeah.
Yeah, and what about sort of when you get stuck with something, if you're working on your own, where do you go when you get stuck? Can you talk to Alex or do you have to...
Well, I'm quite into the learner, really, and I'm very much that I will try and work something out for myself. So I will look at the books. I've got several books. I look online. If I do get stuck, then yes, I would give him a buzz. Generally, I'm too tenacious not to, so I just keep on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a good trait. I think you need it in this job. It requires a great deal of patience.
Yeah.
A great deal of time to get through some of the pieces that you have to go through. So we always ask the question, what advice would you give? As a student, what advice would you like? What do you think would be helpful, for example, for other students and particularly for yourself? But where do you think you could be better served? And that's not to pry anything you're learning with Alex at all.
No. I don't know if I can answer that.
That's okay.
Because, everybody's different in what they need and what they want to learn. And I'm not sure there's a specific thing that's pertinent to me that would be to somebody else.
Okay.
What I would say is listening to your podcast, as I said earlier, when we went when we were chatting off of the podcast, was the I think everybody who teaches should get their students to listen to your podcasts. Honestly, it's really good because it helps. Well, it did with me, made me self-reflect and think about what I did. I didn't understand where it came from, and that's helped me. But also listening to other people, their journey, what they did, what they found difficult or easy or whatever. I think that's
we're all different, aren't we, at the end of the day?
Absolutely, that's it.
Techniques and abilities at learning, and some of us are visual learners and some of us are studious.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm quite visual and I've never been academic in my life. So it holds a process of how do you do that? Let's do it rather than studying it, which my partner does because she's a sensible, educated woman.
Well, I mean, I'm not academic. I know I did a degree, but I've always been working with my hands. And if I can't work, you know, can't do something, I'll just sit and work out, right, how am I going to do this? I won't necessarily go and look in a book to do that. I'll figure it out. Unless I get really, really stuck, and then I'll look at else to see if, somebody can help.
I suppose one of the biggest problems with YouTube and sort of learning through that medium is discernment of what to watch. What is a video? And have you got a technique for working through that to understand how one video might be good and another not?
I think it's the case when... So did you go onto YouTube? Hi! Baba here! Baba! I think no. If it's somebody who seems to know what they're talking about, who is invariably an upholsterer, then I'll look at them, but not somebody who's doing it from home or has just worked out this, they do it from home.
That's an interesting point, actually. Not something I really do. So, but anyway, who inspires you?
I suppose really it would be my mum and my grandma, but they're not with us anymore. But they're two incredibly strong women in my life that have empowered me to do what I want to do. And the fact that I'm a girl, go for it, don't ever put it down, whatever you want to do, just go for it. And that's, I suppose that's why I went down the engineering route, I suppose, and I've always been crafting, doing things. So I'm much happier, I've always said I'm much happier with a hammer and chisel than needle and thread.
But, you've got a crossover in this job.
I know. It's both worlds. But that's it. I mean, I was turned off at school with needlework. I didn't like my needlework teacher, but so that was, very immature. Right, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to go down the, hammer and chisel route. So, and make things because I like designing as well. So my mind's always constantly thinking of things.
So that could be it was your mum that was the upholsterer, or was it your grandma?
No, my grandma.
Your grandma. So tell us a little bit about your memories of being with her and seeing her work.
She didn't work when I was with her.
Okay.
So that was
never after me.
Sorry.
I was just saying that there was never any little like tools or something hanging around playing with or.
Well, afterwards, no. Only after I think after she died, I think found all her old stuff and I think, well, what else is this for? And what the, weird looking things. Didn't think anything of it because it was years ago.
Wouldn't it have been nice?
No.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be lovely to sit down and talk to her about her trade? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, isn't it? How we discover things later on and stuff.
I know. It's like a family tree. I wish I'd asked, about this stuff ever. Never did. Yeah, no, it's... she told me all about her clients, some weird and wonderful people that she'd worked.
I suppose that would have been quite an interesting period of time to be in the trade as well, because there was such a lot of transition, sort of that 40s to 60s period.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware that she actually worked in the industry... in factories and making furniture that way.
Yeah.
It was purely, I guess she was a seamstress, I guess, and did, yeah. I mean, later in life, it was mainly curtains, swags and tails, the big flamboyant stuff and chair covers and that I'd sort of seen her cutting, fabric out and measuring and using the centre of the table as a guide. She didn't have such a big table. She never cutting table. It was the dining room table she used to work on.
Oh, okay. What part of the skill do you most want to master? Where would you like to really hone your skills?
I really like the construction side of things.
Yeah.
That's the thing I like the best. So probably that side more. Okay. Putting the top fabric on, I don't get the same oomph from it as I would actually creating the shape and the whole thing. So I really want to work more on traditional upholstery. I've done the phone stuff, so it comes out of my ears. So
now Alex is doing the AMUSF courses. Will you go and do those, or is that?
Oh yeah, I booked on that to do that. So I'm really excited to do that. So.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Yeah. So you're first year.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I would have done it earlier. It's just nowhere in Kent that does it. And he's the first one to do so, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So that'll be exciting then.
Yeah.
I mean, they are very good courses, I think. I think they do give you a rounded knowledge. I mean, certainly I've employed people off the back of having done those courses, which I think is kind of what it's all about. Sort of career and all of the things that you've done before upholstery, have you found anything that has helped you with upholstery? Because obviously, I mean, if you're sort of doing metalwork and if you're taking a degree in psychology and stuff, has there been any kind of crossover? Because it's such a varied career that you've had. Is there anything that you think, oh, that's a bit of a crossover, or is it just so different?
It is so different. The thing I have to say working for NatWest is a brilliant training in terms of customer service.
Yeah.
So in terms of the linkage there with that and psychology, because I love people and watching people and why do they do what they do, and I sort of self-analyse myself, like, well, you know, why isn't this working? Why am I thinking this, that and the other? So with that, the customer service training with NatWest has helped in my business. When I left there, I left the bank to have my boys. And then when I was on maternity leave with my first son, my husband had his own business just started up. So that all helped. And that all took off when I left. And then I started running a business. And that's transitioned into what I'm doing now on the upholstery side, because I know what to do on that.
Yeah.
It's just learning on the upholstery. So
you found the sort of setting up the business and the running the business relatively straightforward?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess one of the things that I think is, for some, obviously not because for some of us it's easier than others, but some, you know, the running of a business and the mechanics of running a business are quite a challenge, you know, because there are lots of areas that you've got to learning your numbers, you've got to learn how to make sure that your customers are informed, and do you know what I mean? So And if you're trying to learn the trade as well at the same time, it just seems like a heck of a lot to take on.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that sense, because it's just almost muscle memory from that point of view. I'll just do it and I'll quick do that and then concentrate on the upholstery.
Yeah, nothing.
So I don't spend much time on the business side of things. It's just quick, get that done and my time on what I'm doing.
So how are you getting your customers? How are you finding customers?
I think I've been very lucky because of lockdown. Yeah. It's just gone berserk. I don't know if that's the same for everybody. But I do work for trade customers. I've got three trade customers I do work for. And then I've just set up a little website, had a couple of local people get in contact. So I've got three or four now that are just coming up. So that's good. They're on the waiting list. I've got returning customers too. That's a big boost. So I must be doing something right, I suppose.
That's bad. I feel like there's a sort of more questions to ask that might be pertinent for other people. But you were giving advice about setting up business. What would the one piece of advice be that you'd give someone?
Not to worry about it. Just go for it. Because it will work itself out. There's always people who can help you. You know, there's an accountant who can do stuff for you.
Yeah.
If it's down to that, you know, where I really can't do any of it. Yeah. Pay an accountant then, or a bookkeeper or whatever. Is don't get hung up over it at all.
No, easy to say, I guess.
I know, but
I agree with you, totally. But I think some people probably would be more challenged than others on it.
And some people aren't made to be self-employed. Yeah. They are much happier to work for somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is fine. You know, it depends on your personality. If you're somebody who likes to be in control of what you do and, no, I want to do it this way, then I think being self-employed is probably the route. Whereas if you rather have somebody tell you what to do, right, I need this done, okay, you know where you are. And a lot of people don't like conversing with others. They're just quite happy to get on, do the work, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It's all what character you are, I guess.
Of course, yeah. And tell me, what's your business name?
Ivy's Girl.
Ivy's Girl?
Yeah. My grandma's called Ivy. Ivy, dear love.
Okay. Brilliant. Love it. So we get to the final question. Ooh. And I know that this might be a bit of a challenge for you, but Desert Island Discs. So
right.
Music, book and film.
Okay. Well, film's quite easy. That's Calamity Jane.
Okay.
I always loved that film and I identify with Calamity. Always have done. So that's my film. Book, I haven't got the foggiest.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry?
It doesn't have to be a book. It could be a magazine.
Kerrang, then. I'd have to say Kerrang.
Okay, fine.
So music is going down that vein, that route. So
really? Really? You surprised
me. I love rock music, and I'm like Rage Against the Machine and AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, all the,
yeah.
You know.
So you're quite a gentle soul.
Very timid, yeah.
No. Do you know, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm certainly surprised, but thank you.
But it's lovely. It's nice to hear somebody from a different school. So thank you for joining me for that.
All right.
All right. Take care and I'll speak to you soon.